guys look great. You should see what I get to see. Very handsome and pretty, well-dressed, comfortable. You comfortable? Good, good, good. Well, if you don't know who I am, my name is Dave, and I am the lead pastor here. And I just want to say, if you're a first-time guest, well, even if you're a regular tender, I'm glad you're all here. But if you're a first-time guest, thank you for being here. And if you're looking for a church home, can I just be the first one to say welcome home? I love this church body. It's no place have I ever been where people just accept you and welcome you as you are. And no matter what's going on in your life, you're welcome here. And I love that about our church body, and I love that because I believe that embodies how Jesus was, right? The last few weeks we've been going through a series called The Light. The first week we talked about the light of the world, that's Jesus. And then we talked last week about the light of the Word and His Holy Scripture, the Bible. This week we are going to look at the light of the way. The light of the way. In John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you for breath in our lungs and just another day in life, Lord God. And your word tells us that today is the day that you have made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, thank you for another day. We thank you for life as we celebrated these two little ones, Lord God, and dedicated them unto you. What a sweet, sweet thing. And Lord, I just pray that everything is said and done today would be glorifying to you, that our hearts and our minds would be open to you, Lord God, and to your word, and give you permission to do the things in our lives that you would like to do. And we pray this in your precious and holy name. And everyone said, Amen. So the light and life of Jesus has come. Jesus came to give us life, to give us light, to guide us in our lives. And that's one of those things that we just read in John 14, 6. And light's all around us. I mean, look around. It's like we have light all around us. It's everywhere that we look, right? What do we put on birthday cakes? Candles, which is light. What do we put on Christmas trees? We just came through Christmas. What do we put on trees? And the crazy and overambitious people put them on the outsides of their house, right? Lights everywhere to remind us. Light attracts, you know, and this probably sounds a little morbid, but anybody have a little bug zapper? What is, it's light, right? And it attracts the bugs, right? We're attracted to light. Anybody ever been in like a dark cave or anything like that, and you come around the corner and you see a little bit of light, what happens? You're drawn to that, right? And you're just like, oh, the exit. Especially if you have claustrophobia, right? I'm out, right? Light. We're attracted to light. We go towards light. Anybody ever watch CSI or NCIS or any of that? What do they do every time they go to a crime scene? They have their little light, right? It's light is a thing, a flashlight. They have it on their crime scene. Jesus came into the world to show us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us how to live. And He's the light. Jesus is attractive. He's the light. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Adam, from the very beginning, had light, right? But he lost it when he sinned against God. He lost the light. Darkness began to fill his life. We all do stupid things. Would we agree? I know I do. We all do stupid things in life because I believe it's because we've allowed darkness to infiltrate into our lives and begin to overtake our life. And it causes us to be stupid. I don't know how else to explain that. But we see in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, it's the story of Saul before God changed his name to Paul. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. Synagogue is just a fancy word for church, right? So that if he found any there who belonged to the way, everybody say the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, I don't know you, but I know me. If I got not, you don't find me on a horse, first of all. Just not built to be on a horse. Maybe the one at Walmart where you put a quarter in. But it will just sit there. So, but bright light, but you're blinded, you're sitting on the road in the dirt, and you hear a voice saying, Dave, Dave, why are you persecuting me? I don't know about you, but that would make my belly button pucker. Right? How scary that would be. But God used what to get Saul's attention? Light. Right? And here's the crazy thing about it. Saul was a religious person. He was a Pharisee. Right? And he was persecuting the way. Now, the way, for those that don't know, that's what they called Christians before they were called Christians. They were the way. Right? And so that's why it was in there, is they were known as the way. The disciples, that's what they called themselves. We're the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And so he was persecuting, right? Paul was persecuting. What Jesus said was, you're not persecuting my people, you're persecuting me. And that's kind of a scary situation. But the way was a lifestyle, right? It wasn't religion. It was a relationship with Jesus. It was a lifestyle. No different than it is today. As a Christ follower, it should be a lifestyle. It shouldn't be something that you just do. It shouldn't be a list of rules that you add to your life. You know, you sit there and you work up your weekly schedule and go, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Check. You know, your relationship with Jesus should be your lifestyle. Everything that you do, every aspect of your life should reflect Jesus. Picking up what I'm throwing down? If you are, say, uh-huh. Right on. I like it. I like it. So it's a lifestyle. It was a chosen past and destiny for those who went after Jesus, pursued Jesus. Whew, I better get a drink and wash that one out. It's who they were. It's not something that they do. In Proverbs 22:6, we could have used that scripture this morning, said, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, they will not depart from it. It's important for us to teach our children about God. We just dedicated two little ones, Sully and Braxton, the cutest little babies ever. I'm just going on record to say. But that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility as Christ followers, is to train our children up in the ways of the Lord, right? It's what we're supposed to do. It's a lifestyle. We need to teach them the way. Let me explain it this way. This is going to mess with somebody. I view kids like wet cement. I'll explain. It's movable and moldable, shaping it, right? They're still not solid, hard concrete like some of us old folk, that for God to do anything in our lives, he has to break out the jackhammer, right? They're moldable. And they're like sponges. They're soaking up things in life. The psychologists tell us, and I don't know necessarily how, I kind of believe it to an extent, but the two periods of time in a person's life that they are the most influential is children and preteens. That's when they're like sponges and they're soaking up things. And so whatever they're soaking up is what they're beginning to establish in their life. Does that make sense? So we've got to make sure that they're soaking up the right things and that we're molding them. And there's the two greatest influences in their lives should be the body of Christ. That's the one it should be. Or the world. Which one of them do we want to influence our children? Which ones do we want to be influenced by? Right? There's two forces. That's just the way that it is. So which one's going to have the greatest influence in our lives or in our kids' lives? John 11, 9 and 10 said, Jesus answered, says, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble. For he sees by his light, by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. I want to illustrate something, but I forgot to grab the thing. Can you go, Aiden, into the kitchen in the one drawer and get me one of those towels? As he's doing that, I need two volunteers. I need a teenager. Okay. Actually, hold on, Kellogg. I'm going to get Calvin. Is that okay? I'm going to bring Calvin up. He popped up. And then I need... Doug, will you come and help me? Come stand right here. Come again. Come stand here. Yep, just one. Yep. Perfect. Hustle. Don't dilly-dally.
Chop, chop.
Perfect. Well, that's not quite what I had in mind. Is the other one bigger, Drew? He gives me the smallest one. It's all good. You raised up the right one and then you brought me the other one. That's okay. It's all right. Jesus loves you. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. Okay. I better make sure I'm doing this right. We're going to have a race between these two. Look at each other. Who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's going to win? Calvin. Okay.
Can I trip him?
So here's what we're going to do, Calvin. We're going to blindfold you to give good old Doug a chance. All right? We're going to blindfold. No cheating. Oh, I'm going to try not to pull your hair. Don't cry, though, okay? If it hurts, just suck it up. You're a wrestler. You're good. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. So we're going to start right here. Actually, I'm going to go like this. You're going to go this way. We're going to have a race. I want you to run as fast as you can around this room. Just kidding. We're not going to do that. But if we were to do that in real life, because I like Doug a lot and I don't want him to die. But if, and Calvin's pretty cool too. But if we were to race as it sits right now, who would win? Doug. Right? Calvin would just take out half the church. So he'd go for it. There's no question in my mind. But Doug would win. Why? He can see. He's got the light. Right? God is asking us to remove the blindfold so we can see and we can navigate life better. Right? What is the light? The light is Jesus. The light is His Word that guides us. Without it, we're in darkness. Sorry. Fixing your hair. Give him a round of applause. Go ahead, have a seat. Thank you. Right? In the darkness, we stumble, right? Anybody ever like get up in bed, walking in the dark, and you stumble, you stub your toe on a stinking coffee table or something? Anybody ever do that? Isn't it the only worse pain than that is stepping on a Lego? I'm just going on record to say. But we stumble in the darkness. And the reason that we do in the darkness is because we don't have any revelation. The light, we talked about last week, the light brings revelation. and illumination, right? It's hard to run in the dark. It just is. As cool as Calvin is and as athletic as Calvin is, he would have struggled to get around. He would have probably broke a window. He'd have probably broke Aiden's hip. Maybe he'd have broke his own. But we don't have revelation. Does that make sense? When we're walking in the darkness. When we walk in the light, God's light, we have revelation. And that's how God has called us to run this thing that we have called life. But when we allow ourselves to be stuck in the darkness, that's when we stumble, and that's when we fall, and that's when all this bad stuff happens. Now, does that make life perfect? No, it doesn't make life perfect. And here's the crazy thing. A lot of times when we're running around in darkness and we're wasting a lot of time and energy. Now, I was thinking about this week in my own life, and I spent a good chunk of my life chasing the things of God or of the world. I was partying, working in bars, being stupid, running around, and I did that for 9 years. Of just chasing the things of the world, trying to, because I grew up in church, and many of you grew up in church. There's some of you that haven't, but you chase the things of the world, right? Thinking that it's going to fill a void in your life, this hole in your life that you have, that nothing seems to fit. The alcohol, the dating, the drugs, the money, the toys, whatever it is, and it does not fill that hole, right? Only Jesus fit. It's a Jesus-sized hole. And we spend so much time. And here's the crazy thing. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I was thinking about this. I wasted 9 years of my life knowing what God had for me, knowing my purpose, and going, I don't want to be a pastor. There was three things when I graduated high school I said I would never do. I'd never get married. Yeah, I'm married. I'd never work with kids, and I'd never go in the ministry. Those that don't know me yet, I'm married 23 years this coming up February to the most amazing woman in the world. And I keep thinking back, what in the heck was I thinking? I worked with teenagers for 20 years. And now, guess what? I've been in the ministry 22. Don't ever tell God what you're not going to do. But the thing about it is, I spent 9 years running from that. Now, the things that I experienced, all that stuff has served a purpose, because God says that He will turn the things that were meant for evil into good for those that love Him. And it's given me a lot of life experience. But how much time did I waste not doing what God had called me to do? And so many of us waste so much time. Sin's a big time waster. Would you agree? It's a time waster. But here's the crazy. It wouldn't be fun if it wasn't. I mean, it wouldn't be sin if it wasn't fun for a season. The Word even tells us that it's fun for a season. But then it just drops flat, right? How much time do we waste in sin? Don't answer that. Just think about it. Proverbs chapter 4, 18 and 19. And I love this scripture. It says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. Oh, that's so poetic. First gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now I know what you're thinking. And I was thinking the same thing probably, but it's this. How does light guide us? Pastor, how does light guide us? Anybody ever asking that question? No? Cool. Just me. Well, I'm going to share with you how, and the funny thing is we're going to find it in the story of Christmas, of Christ's birth, right? We just celebrated Christmas, so we can still go there, right? You guys cool with that? They're like, well, it's in the Bible, so it's like, all right, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw this star in the east and have come to worship him. What's a star? Say it like you mean it. Light, right? So they followed a light, followed the star from the east, and they've come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. That's what the prophet was saying. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Dun, dun, dun. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. So how does the light guide us? If you're a note taker, number one is this. The light gives us direction. It gives us direction. We still use this in the world, right? We have directional lights. Stop, go, pause. Actually, it's yield, or depending on how you interpret it, go real fast, right? It's only when it's pink, right? But it gives direction. Now, here's the thing about the Word of God. There is very specific direction that the Word of God gives us, but there's also general principles from the Word of God that bring us light and direction and cause us to avoid darkness. And that is awesome, right? In Psalms 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives us direction. It points us in the right way, right? The way. But there are some things that the Word of God is not specific about in our lives, right? And that's where we need the light of His Spirit to guide us, right? When Jesus died on the cross, was crucified on the cross for our sins, He was buried into Him, resurrected, He came back and appeared to His disciples, right? And He was teaching them and things like that. And then He ascended to heaven. And He said, I must go so that the one that God has for you can come. And that was God's Spirit, right? And that's when we accept Jesus as our Savior in our life, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Picking up what I'm throwing down? So He begins to guide us. In the Greek, He's the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside. I know all the Bible college guys are hearing this. It's the one that comes alongside. He's our comforter. He's our peace. He directs us and guides us. And that's what the Lord has given us, is the Holy Spirit. So when the Word of God isn't specific about certain things, that's where we need to know the voice of God through His Holy Spirit to guide us. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Okay. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. Back to the story. And they had heard the king. They went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. The wise men just knew, because they had been, their thing was, studying the stars, right? And studying all of that stuff. So they knew inwardly. I don't believe that it was necessarily, that they had a relationship with God necessarily, but they knew that that was important. And they followed the star, and the star led them, directed them to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pick it up on throwing down. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Okay, I want to make sense, because this can be, I don't want it to be confusing. So we need direction in our life. Would you agree with that? Right? Following God's Word and His Spirit is that direction. It's what we need in our life. We need the light of the Word and the light of God in our life. And God will give you direction. He will give you direction in your marriage. He will give you direction in your finances, in your investments, in how to raise your children. He will give you direction who to marry, right? It's important that you allow God into that process, right? He will give you direction in anything that you need when you're in the light. And you're allowing Him to do that. Now, this is the thing that we got to get a hold of, is sometimes we reject the direction of God, right? This is the craziest thing. We as Americans like to compartmentalize our life. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about? I've got my work life. I've got my hobby life. I've got my married life. I've got, you know, and then I've got church, and church is over here. But how it's supposed to be as a Christ follower is God is Lord of all. But sometimes we have this ability to say, you know, God, I want you to have control of this, and I want you to have control of this, but this is mine. I don't trust you to control this because I think I can do it better than you. And when we say we don't trust Him in that, that's what we're communicating, that we can do it better. And that's how we live our lives, right? And the crazy thing about it is we need Christ in our life. We need Him in all aspects of our life. How crazy would it be that, you know, I'm going to give you this part of my life, God, and I want you to make sure that my kids come out right. So I'm going to give you my kids. But my marriage, I'm not going to put you at the center of my marriage because I can handle that. I got that. And my finances, I'll give you that as long as you're blessing them. Right? But how about my thought life? My thought life's mine. I'm going to keep my thought life myself. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep this myself because I just, right? Is that making sense? And I know that's probably not any of you guys, but that's the tendency. But God wants it all. And when we step into the light, He starts to direct that. And how rich of a life is that when you allow God to direct you? Right? We're guided. He will teach you how to love. He will teach you how to care. He will teach you how to give. He will teach you how to raise your kids. He will teach you how to treat other people. Right? He teaches those things. And we need a lot more teaching on how to be kind to people in our world today. You will be guided, the scripture tells us, in all truth, the truth of Jesus. Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for He will speak peace to His people. We need to learn to know the voice of God. And it's unfortunate that we don't have like Looney Tunes where we have the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other talking to you. I'm glad we don't do that. Because holy cow, right? But we need to be able to understand the difference between the voice of the world and the voice of God. And when we understand to hear that voice, He will guide and He will direct us. And once you've learned to know the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you and He will guide you and you will know what to do. 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? And if we claim that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. Boom shakalaka. Right? Walk in the light. What does that mean to walk in the light? Like, I walked in the light. It's not what it's talking about, right? It means that we are to do what God has asked us to do. We read the Word of God and it says, hey, live your life this way. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, Self-control against, I'm missing one. Anyway, walking our life, living our life in that, we're walking in the light. When God says, hey, do this. Okay, God. We don't just come to church and hear the Word of God. We don't just read the Word of God on a daily basis, because I know you all do that. And we're sitting here and it says, hey, I want you to do this. And we do it. That's walking in the light. But when we say, okay, God, and then go do our own thing. Hey, I want you to bless that person by bringing them a meal. They had a rough, bring them a meal. Okay, God. And then we don't. Or what does it say? It says, raise your children in the ways of the Lord. Okay. But we don't. And you could fill in the blank, right? I just said that one because we just dedicated to you, baby. It's current. But we don't. That means that we're not walking in the light. You picking up what I'm throwing down? So we're to walk in the light. It means while you are in a world, a dark world, avoid being in the dark places. Avoid those places. Avoid lingering. I mean, because we are, the thought piece is the hardest one, right? And we all have this time where, especially if you're driving in Great Falls, where you have dark thoughts about the person that just cut you off, right? It's probably just me, I guess. But we've got, you know, we gotta, if you're in the dark places and that's where you're hanging out, can I just tell you, as much as you think that you can be the light in that dark place, if you're there too much, your light's gonna fade. Right? You put garbage in, you get garbage out. It fades your light. Being in the light, right? Dark thoughts. I know that depression is an icky thing. And it's a real thing. But I believe that God gives people victory over depression when they're in the light. Right? I believe it. And it doesn't, you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there. I don't, and I'm not making light of depression. Please hear me. I know people in my own family that suffer from depression, but I believe that God can deliver you from that. And I believe that He can do it through multiple things. He could do it by just going like that because He's God, but He's also given wisdom and knowledge for doctors to be able to help with that and therapists to help with walking through that kind of stuff and things like that. So if that's you, man, you don't have to be there. Okay? I just want to encourage you with that, that piece of it. But dark thoughts lead to dark actions, and dark actions lead and dark attitudes, and they'll creep into your life. And if you're not guarding your heart and guarding your mind and being in the light, that begins to creep into your life and control you. Get it? And when you walk in the light of God, He will give you direction for things that you need to do to change in your life and those kinds of things. Philippians, Paul tells us in Philippians 1:9-8 that this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So light gives direction. Number two, light exposes sin. It exposes sin. Matthew 2:12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Herod had no intention of wanting to go and worship Jesus, the King of the Jews, right? That wasn't his intent. He was an evil person. And he was threatened because everybody's saying that he's the King of the Jews, and Herod was the king. And so the Holy Spirit prompted the Magi to go another way through a dream. So that light revealed the bad attitudes about the bad intent and the wrong motives that King Herod had. In Ephesians, Paul tells us in chapter 5, verse 7-16, therefore do not be partners with them, for you were once wicked, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But therefore, exposed by the light becomes, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 and 13 says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in, and it goes on. We got kids. I'm not going to say that word. Drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, and dissension, jealousy, and such. Okay. It's when we spend time in the dark places. Is that, you following that? That's what he's saying is when we spend time in the dark places and allow ourselves to think dark thoughts, we're led into dark actions, right? It's just that. And Matthew again goes on in verse 6 or chapter 6 to say the light, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, and not talking about astigmatism, but you're focused on bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If you fill your life with the light of God, the light of God's word, it will expose the darkness. Right? King David said in Psalm 132, says, search me, O God, of any wickedness. Right? If there's any wickedness in me, show me, reveal it, or take it out. Right? Those are the things the light reveals. Here's the thing. This is taking it home a little bit. My son Ryan lost a little key to his lock to his little book that he draws in, and it was under the couch, and he's trying to find it. Well, under the couch, it's dark. So what did he ask for? A flashlight. Poof. There it is. In the darkness, he couldn't see it. But you put light on it, it exposed it. The same thing with our lives in sin. Not one of us would go downtown Conrad or wherever you're from and do stupid sinful things in front of everybody. Right? In broad daylight at noon. We wouldn't do that. At least most of us, I don't think, would do that. I don't know. There might be the one. But we do it in secret. But when we are in the light, it exposes that. God exposes that, so then we can now deal with it. Right? It's this the process that he made. Imagine this. Imagine if we live our life in a way that everything that we say is like we're saying it in a public place. When we're talking, right? And we're talking, I know that there are some of us, not in here probably, but there are people out there that don't care what comes out of their mouth, right? They'll say it in front of everybody and they don't care. But just imagine, I'm thinking that this is most of us, that if we have something negative to say, we don't necessarily say it to those people. We would definitely not say it in a group setting. But so imagine that we are, whatever that we say, something, every word that comes out of our mouth is as if it was being heard by everybody. Now, growing up, there was words that came out of my mouth that I didn't mind most people hearing, but I didn't want my mama to hear it. Pick it up what I'm throwing down? And so, what if, and I'm just talking about the words because that's the most prominent thing in our world, right? We so oftentimes don't have a problem giving somebody a piece of our mind. But what if everything that we said it in a way that everybody would hear it? Do you think that would change how we speak? I think it would. And if it can't be everybody, because I know that there's some people who go, I don't care what people think. Well, maybe you think what your mama would think. You know, I grew up in an era, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am, because there is older people here, just a little. But I grew up where you didn't talk like that in front of mom. Right? Has anybody else been that way? There were certain words that you would not say in front of mama or you're chewing on a bar of soap. And that was nasty. What if we lived our life that way? What if we had a filter? What if we guarded our thoughts? Well, how do you do that? Well, you have a bad thought come in. It's there, right? It's there. And it's like, you know what? That's not truth. That's not. And boom, you just kick it out. We have the capacity to control our thoughts and to guard our thoughts. And what if we guard our thoughts? We need to, right? If you think something, it has the potential to plant a seed and then you might start believing it. And it was a lie. You getting it? Your life will always move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. No argument. Your life will always move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. God deals with it in Psalms. It's not on the screen, but it's as a man thinks, so he is. Right? So you are always move your life in the direction of your most dominant ways of thinking. And let me give you an example. If you are constantly, and we all have self-talk, right? We all have this self-talk. And it's always boom, 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 and all these thoughts go into your head and all this always stuff. And if you start camping out of, you know what? I suck. I'm a horrible person. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I don't read good. I don't, you know, whatever. And that's all that you consume your thoughts, and that's where you camp in your mind. Guess what's going to happen? Your life's going to go that way. And then you're going to start believing, because you planted that seed, you're going to start believing that you suck, that you're worthless, that you're no good, that you're fat, that you're ugly, and all of that stuff. You picking up what I'm throwing down? We've got to guard our thoughts. Excuse me. If you start thinking something that has the potential to plant a seed, then you might start believing it. John Wesley once said, "Give me 10 men who hate nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and we will change the world." I love that. He also said, "Catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come for miles to watch you burn." Jesus is attractive. Jesus is attractive. And when people begin to see the light of Jesus in you, they'll be drawn to you. Does that make sense? People are always attracted to the light. The third way is the light ignites love and worship. We're almost done. On Matthew 2, 11 and 12 says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country another road." The Magi gave Jesus gifts, three gifts that provided insight on who baby Jesus really was. Gold. Anybody know the significance of that gift? We're all like, "I like gold." Huh? Gold is a very expensive gift, right? And it would have been given to a king. The gold represented that Jesus would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what they were signifying by giving him that gift. Frankincense. This was often used in the Old Testament. Sacrifice as a perfume offering to the Lord. Perfume offerings to the Lord, right? And Jesus would be our high priest. This is what it signified. Blah, that he was our high priest, our perfect sacrifice and the proper atonement for our sins. And then myrrh. This was seven times more valuable than gold. Myrrh was. It was an embalming fragrance used before burial. They used it to cover up stink, but it was extremely valuable. And that represented that Jesus was born to die for the payment of our sins. Jesus would be our Savior. Right? Jesus would be our Savior. And so it wasn't just these random gifts that they picked up at the Bi-Mart on their way to see him. They had meaning. And they were very, very significant in that thing. And when the wise men gave Jesus their gifts, This is what they were doing. They were putting their worship into action. Right? They were putting it into action. They humbled themselves before God and they gave them these really significant, important gifts as an act of worship. And when we embrace the light, it can do nothing but cause love to overflow out of us. The true statement ever. Okay? And it gives us the ability for us to love the unlovable ones that we never thought that we could ever love. It will give us the ability to forgive the person that you never thought you would be able to forgive. You would have that ability because of the light. Right? I don't know why I always step right back here, because it's the light, I guess. Everybody's like, why are you weird, like doing a do-si-do? Right? So let me wrap this up this morning. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. Wrap this up. After God's light comes into our lives and we spend time in His presence, we're coming. One of the things that church is about is creating an atmosphere for God's presence. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is. Another scripture says that He inhabits the praises of His people. So when we sing these praises and these worship songs, God is here. We're in His presence. Isn't that cool? Hi. Dave, don't dance. Don't dance. Okay. That would be a bad thing. So after God's light comes into our lives and we spend time in His presence, we'll be able, like I said just a minute ago, be able to forgive the people that we not thought we would never be able to forgive. We'll have faith and confidence that a relationship we thought was way, way, way beyond repair can be redeemed. And I know that I'm speaking to some of you. We'll have hope when it feels like we're going under. Many people come in contact with the things of God on a daily basis. But they've grown callous. Can I just encourage you, if that is you this morning, is you had a relationship with God at one point, but because of you've allowed life circumstances to kick you down and bring you down, and that's just where you are, can I just encourage you to step into the light and allow that callousness, that hard-heartedness to begin to break and allow God to be able to heal and mend your heart? The light will guide you in every decision that you have to make. And we all have to make tough decisions. And He will help us and guide us and give us the wisdom. He will give us the ability to become better people. He will bring people around you. I've told teenagers for years, don't allow your friendships to choose you. You choose your friends. Because you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Choose your friends. People that are going to encourage you to be a better you. And you want to be a better you. They inspire you to be a better you. And better yet, you be that friend to be inspiring somebody else and encouraging somebody else to be a better you or a better them. Does that make sense? And the light will help us and guide us and direct us and give us the ability to become a better person, a better Christ follower, a better friend, a better husband, a better wife, a better sibling, better employer, a better employee. Every aspect of our life when we step into the light. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Light will come into your life and it'll expose the things that need to be exposed so God can take care of that and say, look, this area of your life, man, I want you to give it to me so I can heal it, so I can toss it in the trash, whatever needs to be done. The light exposes that. And God's a gentleman. He's never going to just rip it out of our lives. He's going to say, look, boom, here it is. We need to do something with that. You know, does that make sense? And then light will fill you with love, and it'll fill you with worship, and the light will lead you to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, let the light lead you there. We all need the light of Jesus in a dark world that we live in. Let's bow our heads. Let me just close us in prayer, and then we're going to sing a song to close with the worship team. Heavenly Father, we just love you. And God, what a great day it has been. You have been here with us, and we have experienced your presence. We have dedicated a little boy and a little girl, two little babies, unto you, Lord God. And Lord, I just want to pray for us all and just say, Lord, help us wherever we're at. Maybe we're in the light, we're doing okay. Then Lord, just encourage us. And if we're not, if we're in dark places or whatever the situation is, Lord God, I pray that you would just shine the light. Help us to go and run towards the light, because you light the way. I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for all of our regular folks and our first-time guests, Lord God. I pray that every one of us have felt welcome, felt encouraged, felt challenged by your word. Be with us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.